Revelation, the book of Revelation 21, and it's just a precursor again to when Brother Brian gets there. It will certainly not go into depth as he will, but just a message again. Last week we preached a message on hell is a real place, okay? And today we'll look at heaven is a real place. And again, the Bible speaks of both. There's only two places, regardless of what anybody else says, regardless of what man says, regardless of what man teaches. There's two places. There is a heaven. There's a hell. And you see the teachings of Christ. He teaches on heaven. He teaches on hell. There is no purgatory. There is no purgatory. You don't see it in the Bible. That's a lie of the devil. And it's a lie that has been concocted to do what? To steal. To steal from people. To steal from people. That's all it is. Come and pay, and we'll pray. That's not what it's about. You come and pay, and we'll pray, get your loved ones out of, well, they're not in purgatory. If they're not, I mean, there's only two places. And they're both eternal. They're forever. They're both forever. And this morning, again, it's, the message again is on heaven. And we all have thoughts and ideas. And there are those, again, there are other religions, again, that teach of mysticism. They teach of a place, again, of nirvana, okay? And people want to do away with heaven. They want to do away, why would people want to do away with heaven? You know why they want to do away with heaven? Because if they do away with heaven, they do away with hell. If they do away with heaven, then they'll do away with hell. If one doesn't exist, then the other one doesn't either. But they both exist. And heaven is just as real, again, as hell is real. And hell is just as real as the earth is real. And so we're looking at one verse in the book of Revelation 21. As we look at heaven is a real place. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. Father, we thank you for your goodness. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. And Lord, I pray that as we, Lord, look at your word, I pray that we would be drawn, Lord, again unto you. I pray, Lord, that as we learn again of this place called heaven, that we would yearn, Lord, again in our hearts, in our minds, and, Lord, in our whole being again to be in this place. Father, I pray that we would live our lives again accordingly, that, Lord, when we are called, again, when the roll is called up yonder, Lord, that not only we would be there, but, Lord, that we would be there, Lord, without shame, and Lord, that we would be there, Lord, without having regret for the life that we've lived. And Lord, I pray that you'd bless this time now, bless your word. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Heaven is a real place. This isn't just found in the New Testament. The thought or the belief again and the teaching of heaven If we look, and we're going to look at some scripture, go back to the first book of the Bible, the book of Genesis, chapter number 28. Genesis 28, we have, again, secondly, because we know, again, what the Bible tells us in the book of Genesis, chapter 1 and verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. But here, in the book of Genesis 28, we see Jacob, who has left his parents' home, and he's going back to Rebekah's homeland, and he's going to spend some time there since he deceived Esau, and Esau is ready to kill him. And so Jacob leaves with his father and mother's instruction and blessing. And but as he's going, again, as he's going, Jacob gets to a place, and he lays down to sleep. He lays down to sleep, and while he is he lays down to sleep in that place, verse 12 says, and he dreamed, and behold, a ladder was set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest to thee will I give it unto thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south. And in thee, and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land. For I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. And Jacob awaked out of his sleep, and he said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it. And he was afraid and said, how dreadful is this place? This is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. And so Jacob, again, in his dream, was to him was revealed again from God, again, his promise. But in that, again, in his dream, Jacob sees this place. The angels, again, as it were, coming down on a ladder. But he recognized what? This is what? The gate of heaven. He recognized that there is such a place, such a place. It's not a, again, and say, well, it's a New Testament doctrine. No. It's a Bible doctrine. Heaven is a Bible doctrine, and it's a teaching, again, that is throughout the Word of God. We're just looking at a few verses for the sake of time. But we go to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, a familiar passage to us, I believe. And we all know, again, of the thorn in the flesh that the Apostle Paul had. And we don't, we're not sure what it was, but he does proclaim that he had a thorn in the flesh. But why is it, again, that he believes that he had this thorn in the flesh? In chapter 12, 2 Corinthians, verse 1, the Bible says this, it is not expedient for me, doubtless a glory, I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years, whether in the body, I cannot tell, or whether out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth. Such an one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth. How that he was caught up into paradise, and heard unspeakable words, which it is not lawful for man to utter. And he goes on to talk there about, but what does he say? He was taken up where? To the third heaven. Okay? What is heaven? Well, you know, we see the clouds. And they're not, I mean, they're high, but they're not as high as above that. There's what? There's another heaven. Right? And then above that is what? The third heaven, which is where God dwells. I don't know how far up. I don't know how far up, but it's up there. Okay, you can go 30,000 feet in an airplane, I believe. And then I don't know how far again you get to everything else that's up there. I don't know I'm not a scientist, okay? but heaven is where? He said he was taken up. Paul again, in his testimony, in the word, the inspired word of God, we see again that Paul was taken into the third heaven. So what do you say? Well, heaven is a real place. The Lord Jesus Christ, again, in the book of John, chapter 6. The book of John, chapter 6. And we're looking here, by way of introduction, these passages, again, just a few verses that speak of this place. And again, to set the foundation. And not that I'm not saying that anybody would question, but you know what? It's good for us to look at the scriptures, to know, again, where the Word of God speaks concerning a certain subject, so that we can share again with others and show them again, because people have questions, and we need to be ready again to give them what? An answer. But the Lord Jesus Christ, again, as he's teaching of again the people concerning being the bread of life. In verse 38 of the book of John, chapter 6, he says this, "For I came down from where? From heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me." And then we'll look at the last verse here of our introduction, the book of Acts, chapter 1. And a familiar passage, the book of Acts, chapter 1, in verse 10. "And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood up by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." He's been taken up to heaven, but one of these days he's going to do what? He's going to come again, and it could be when? It could be today. It could be today. No better place, no other place that I want to be when the Lord returns than to be in the house of God. I don't want to be anywhere else. I want to be in the house of God when the Lord returns. With my heart again already turned towards him, and he returns. But he has been taken again up to heaven. And we know again that he's making intercession for us. But heaven is a real place. Heaven is a real place. And the devil, the world, again, and sometimes even our own minds, before we get saved, we try to put it off. We try to put off the thought again of there being a heaven, and just simply think that what? Once we die, that's it. There's nothing else. But that is not true. That is not true. And the Lord Jesus Christ, again, we looked at last week when he said, again, the separating of the what? The sheep from the goats. Some went where? Some went into everlasting punishment. But the righteous to where? Everlasting life. And where will it be? It'll be in a place called heaven. It'll be a place called heaven. But we go back again to the book of Revelation, and heaven is a real place. Heaven is a real place. And here in this very verse that we read, Bible speaks this. "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away." I hate to say it, but those people that are enamored with this world and that are so concerned, again, you have to agree, again, with global warming. You have to agree with those people about global warming. I'm sorry. Because Peter says what? that the elements will burn with fervent heat. It's all going to be done away with. It's so amazing. They're so concerned about it, but they're so attached to it. Don't get attached to this world, because one of these days it's all going to burn up. But there's hope again for the believer, because he says, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. Three simple points this morning, and we're going to look at what will not be in heaven, what will not be in heaven, and then we'll look at what will be in heaven, and then we'll look at what could be in heaven. Okay? A little suspense. What could be in heaven? All right. Well, let's look at the first one. What will not be in heaven? And again, when we think about this, we say, man, how many of us have said, is there going to be mosquitoes in heaven? I hope there's going to be no mosquitoes or flies in heaven, right? And some people say, you know, I hope there's no politicians in heaven. But I believe those are taken care of by this passage again, because the Bible says there is none that maketh a lie. So the politician, there's going to be no politicians in heaven. All right? But let's get to the Word this morning, and we look at the Bible. And there's other things, again, that we can say. I hope there isn't any in heaven. I hope there's things in heaven. But what will not be in heaven? Well, the Bible begins here with, and there was no more sea. There was no more sea. There's going to be no sea again in heaven. The very first thing, again, that is mentioned here, that is what? No sea. And you say, isn't that interesting? Why would there be no sea in heaven? Have you ever been on the sea? The sea is a place that is unsettling. As a sea is a place where storms begin. The sea is a place where hurricanes begin. You know, the snows, even in the winter, the snows that hit the west and come from the west, guess where they start? They start out in the Pacific Ocean. The sea is tumultuous. It's unsettling. It's a picture for us again of what? You know what? No more storms of life. No more storms. No more unsettled living. We don't have to worry again about the hurricanes. There's going to be no more sea. I believe God created the seas again for the climate, to help the climate. But we live in a fallen world. You see, you mean God created, even though he knows hurricane, we're in a fallen world. We're in a fallen world. And why do we have storms in life? Why do they come? Why? Well, they reveal the power of God. But sometimes storms come because of our doing. And I'm not talking about us causing the weather to change. I'm saying storms in our lives come because of our doing. But there's going to be no more seas. The seas, again, what do they do? They divide the nations. There's going to be no more seas. No more seas. Again, the Bible goes on, and we look at the scriptures, and you know, it ought to be a time for us to look and to reflect again, and sometimes to detach ourselves from what? From this world. There's so much again that keeps us in this world or gives us a desire again to stay here. You know what? I have no desire. And I've said this for years. It upsets my wife. It upsets my wife because, you know, you got family and what about your kids and what about your grand? You know what? I love them to death. And they're going to be up there with me. They're saved, right? There's nothing here that keeps me here. Nothing. All the people that, that I care for and the people that I associate with, that I love, that I want to spend any time with, guess what? They're saved. And they're going to be with me. So I'm leaving nothing behind. And so we need to reflect again and think of what God again has prepared for us, what he has for us. And but there's some things, again, they're not going to be in heaven, and we ought to rejoice. Look at verse 3 again for the sake of time. The Bible says, "And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes." Guess what? No more tears in heaven. Can be no more tears. No more tears. Tears come again because of heartache and loss and hardship. And so we shed tears, don't we? We shed tears down here. But the Bible says that there are going to be no more tears in heaven. It's hard to imagine again a time in a day when there isn't, again, a day of hardship, a day of sadness, days of loss. Tears, again, are going to be done away with. He says there will be what? And there shall be no more death. No more death. Don't have to worry about that. Don't have to worry about, as a believer, by the way, you don't have to worry about death. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, is what Paul says. You shouldn't fear death. You shouldn't be concerned about death. I'm not saying you should go out and look for it. But there isn't an age that I want to get to. There isn't. I don't have a bucket list of things that I want to do. God has blessed my life. I've gotten to do things that I never, ever thought I would be able to do in my lifetime. Do they compare to things others have done? No, probably not. But I've gotten to do in my lifetime things that I never thought that I would ever get to do. I got to go to, I've had the privilege of going to Israel. I've had the privilege of visiting the Promised Land, sitting by the Sea of Galilee. I've been on the Sea of Galilee. Fleshly speaking, I've had an opportunity to be on a cruise with my wife for our anniversary. Just been blessed. The Lord has just blessed me. There's nothing else that I have to do in this life. I've gotten to see sights, beautiful sights. I've been to the Grand Canyon. I've hiked the Grand Canyon. Just a great privilege, a great life. And I praise the Lord for that. But you know what? I'd gladly leave it behind to be in heaven. A place, again, where there'll be what? No more tears. No more death. There's no more separation. No more saying goodbye. Look again here in this passage, and again we can't give the time again that each of these deserves. But the Bible says, "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying." No more sorrow. No more sorrow, no more crying. We cry again for different reasons, different instances. But there'll be no more sorrow. No more broken hearts. No more heartache. He says there'll be no more pain, no pain. There'll be no pain there. How many of you can say amen to that? Huh? No pain. Discover a new pain every day, huh? Like, ooh, I didn't know I had that bone. Oh, I did. No pain. No physical pain. No emotional pain. Sometimes the emotional pain is worse than the physical pain, isn't it? Sometimes the pain that we feel emotionally is worse than the pain that we feel physically. But there's coming a day when all this is going to be done away with. It's going to be done away. There's going to be no more pain in heaven. I remember, again, growing up, and about, I don't know, the age of 13, I believe, my mom's body began to wither down with arthritis. And she would speak of the pain. Of this pain again that this arthritis was. And she suffered with that the rest of her life. I don't remember what time how old my mom would have been then, but maybe early 50s. But she began with her arthritis. It was rheumatoid arthritis. And it began to affect her hips. And she had to have hip surgeries. And her hands began to wither and her feet began to turn. And she just lived in pain the rest of her life. Just pain. All that's done away with. No more pain. Go on there and in verse 4 says, for all the former things are passed away. I want us to look, continue to look down in verse 8 now again of that with that which will not be there. The Bible says, but the fearful and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is a second death. And we look at this and we say, man, I'm so glad. I'll be so glad when we get to heaven. I don't have to worry about the murderers, the idolaters. I don't have to worry about people breaking into my house, the covetous that try to take our stuff. I don't have to worry again about all these individuals, the sorcerers and those people again that worship other gods and that worship devils. And I won't have to worry about that. But let's pause a little bit at this time and recognize this. That some of these individuals that won't be there are who? They're our friends. They're our families. They're our acquaintances. These are individuals, again, that we may know personally or individuals that we have maybe known of. And they're not going to be there. You say, man, I'm glad there's one more. But wait a minute, they're not going to be there. Which says this, if they're not going to be in heaven, where are they going to be? There's only two places, we mentioned that already. There's only two places the Word of God speaks about. If they're not going to be there, where are they going to be? And we may be happy again that they won't be in heaven, and we will be, but the reality is that, you know what? We know these individuals, and we have, again, the Word of God that can reach their hearts and save them again from an eternal punishment and bring them to an eternal heaven. And you know what? What are we doing to reach them? You say, oh, I'm not going to get close to somebody that's a murderer. They deserve that. Well, if we all got what we deserved, guess what? If you and I got what we deserved, what would we get? We'd be in hell. Because my Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And it'll be a great place again because you say, well, we won't have to worry about these and we won't have to think about these and we won't have to be fearful about these. But the reality is that what have we witnessed to people and maybe they won't become a murderer? How about if we tell people again about the Lord and maybe they won't become, again, a person that's fearful? How about if we tell them about the Lord and they won't become that person that is a sorcerer or an idolater? When we look again of what won't be there, it ought to, again, endear our hearts to heaven, but also to recognize of the fact that, you know what, I have an opportunity to tell others again that they also may be a part of this place of no pain, of no death, of no tears, of no sorrow. We have an obligation. We have a responsibility to tell them. We go on again as we look at what the Word of God says of what will not be in heaven. What will not be in heaven according to the Word of according to the Word of God. Look at verse 27, and I've skipped some already, but Bible says, and there'll be, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. They'll no wise enter anything that what? That defileth. What defiles? Sin defiles us. We're defiled. What makes you unclean? What makes you unpure? The things, again, that you're tempted by today, the things, again, that cause, again, your flesh to lust or to go against the commands of God. You won't have to worry about those in heaven. Aren't you glad for that? Man, you can walk again on the streets of gold and you can walk and you won't have to worry about being tempted. You won't have to worry about being spotted and stained again from the sin of the world. I can't wait for a day like that. You can't drive. You can't go to the store today without what? Without encountering that which defileth. Whether it's the music, whether it's the advertisements, whether it's a dress or the lack of dress, you're defiled. You don't have to worry about that then. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad for that? You ought to be glad. You know, it ought to bother us. It ought to affect us again. It ought to bring conviction to our hearts when we go and we're just going, well, I can't help it. You know, that it was right there and I couldn't help but looking at it. No, you can't help but see it, but you can help but from staring at it. Sometimes you're encountered and you encounter scenes that you don't want to see. Okay? Well, if you are confronted with it, all of a sudden do what? Turn away. You can't help that all of a sudden you're there, but what do? Yeah, you can turn away or you can what? Gawk. Bible, again, you go chapter 2, and again, the Bible talks about in verse number 3, and there shall be what? No more curse. You read Genesis chapter 1. You read the creation again. The Bible says again that the morning and the evening were the first or second or third day. And God saw all that what? All that he had created. Everything that he had made, and it was what? It was good. That was before the curse, before the fall. Everything was good. You say, was there mosquitoes before the fall? There was. But they didn't sting people, maybe. Okay? Maybe they didn't sting people. Maybe they were used, maybe God created them for some other, bees, again, cross-pollinate and do things like that. I don't know if the mosquitoes had another role like that. I don't know. Before, no more curse. So may there be mosquitoes in heaven? There's no more curse. They may be there, right? They may be there. There'll be no more night. And as was mentioned already, verse 5, the Bible says, and there shall be no night there. And they need no candle, neither light of the sun. For the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Huh? No night. No more, it's time to go to bed. No night. All day. It's going to be day all day, all the time. It'll be no night. No need a candle. They won't need to worry about these new light bulbs. Don't have to worry about it. Those are the things, again, that are not going to be there. We didn't go into depth. But there are things, again, that we ought to be grateful that won't be there. But there are things, again, that ought to move us to tell. Why? Because we know that they won't be there. We know that they won't. Just as much as the Bible, again, tells us of things that won't be there, the Bible tells us of that which will be there. And just as important or maybe more so important than the things that won't be there is what will be there. What will we see in heaven? We saw again and last week when we looked at Lazarus and the rich man. We saw Lazarus and the rich man. And the difference, again, that we see, the contrast, if you would. But let's look here in verse 3 again. The Bible says, the book of Revelation, chapter 21, he says, and I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. When we talked about the rich man being in hell, and there was a heat. And there was an intense thirst. And there was the darkness. And the Bible says that there be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. But we mentioned that the worst part about hell was what? That God would not be there. So what is the greatest thing about heaven? Is it going to be the streets of gold? Is it going to be the gates of pearl? No. Because with all that, heaven would not be heaven without God. Heaven would not be heaven without the presence of God. When we consider again the creator of all that's been created, the one who made the stars and the planets, the sun, the one who created man. He created man in his own image. And now we get to do what? We get to be in his presence. We get to be in the presence of God. Again, heaven would not be heaven if God was not there. We have, of course, God the Father, and then we see also the Alpha and the Omega. We see the Father, we see God, and we see who? We see the Lamb of God. Paul says what? Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. Who's he talking about? The Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, do we want to see again the beauty, the splendor, the glory of heaven? Do we want to see all the beauty of it? Oh, it's going to be a glorious place to see. But I want to see Jesus first of all. Because without him, I wouldn't be there. Without the Lord Jesus Christ, nobody would be there. We see this place again called heaven. Again, he speaks of what? Of the new Jerusalem again that comes down from heaven and gives a description of this place and the beauty. It's beyond imagination for me. It's beyond anything that I can imagine. I can't comprehend it. I can't. I don't think that a pic can render the beauty of heaven. I've seen some pretty places. I've seen some, again, majestic places and just in creation. Again, mentioning the Grand Canyon. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. It is. It's just majestic to me. I mean, you see it. You look at pictures and you say, man, wow. But it's nothing like looking at it live. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. But the fact that God will be there, the fact that Jesus Christ, again, will be there, of course, the believers will be there. The believers, those again that have gone before us. I read the Bible and I read the lives again of Daniel and Joseph. I read the lives of David and Joshua. I want to see these men, men again whom God used and whom we read about. But I want to see Jesus, first of all. Jesus, first of all. There'll be a reunion there in heaven and looking forward again to seeing loved ones. I want to be with my family again when I get caught up. Lord returns. I always used to think again that, you know, when the kids were growing up and we were in church and I say, man, the Lord could return any minute now. Any time now. Why? So we could all be taken up at once. The same place. It'll be a glorious reunion. And we can go on and on of all that will be in heaven. Again, the Bible tells again of the pure river again of water of life. Clear as crystal proceeding out of the throne of God. I want you to go back to verse 20, or to chapter 21, I should say, really quickly here. because remember when we mentioned the rich man that was in hell. The rich man that was in hell, and he said, "What, Father Abraham, send Lazarus that he would tip the just put the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue." That he was satisfied again with just simply having the tip of Lazarus' finger in his mouth again to do what? To cool his tongue. I want you to look at verse 6 of chapter 21. What a contrast. "And he said unto me, It is done. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, and I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely." What a contrast, is it not? Here the rich man wants what? Just dip the tip of your finger in water and cool my tongue, for I'm tormented. Just a little tip. And in heaven, there's what? There's a fountain. "And I will give unto him that is athirst." I'll give to him that is athirst. What a contrast. What a difference. What a difference again. Again, Abraham mentioned, and he said what? There's a goal fixed between us. You know why? There's a goal fix between the terrors again of hell and the glories of heaven. What a difference. What a difference. Don't get your mind stayed. Don't get your heart stayed here on earth. There's a better place. That place, again, where God dwells, where the Lamb dwells, where the Savior dwells. It's a place, again, of no more tears, no more thirst, no more death. We'll worship God freely, continuously. No hindrances, no more night. No more darkness. We don't have to worry about it anymore. What will not be in heaven? We've listed, made a list. What will be in heaven? We've looked at a few things. But what could be in heaven? What could be? You say, well, what could be? What could be? What could be? There's things, again, that you say, well, maybe, or we're not going to speculate. The reality is that you could be. You could be in heaven. Okay? If you're here today and you're saved, you know Jesus Christ is your Savior, then you're in one of those that what? That will be in heaven. You're in the second point where you will be. But if you're here and you're not saved, you won't be. But guess what? You could be. You could be. How could you be? By accepting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. By repenting of your sins, accepting the sacrifice which Christ made for you, accepting Christ as your personal Savior. Believe in the sacrifice which he made. Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins. He was buried and he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. And putting our faith in Jesus Christ could take you from could be to will be. Just that simple, isn't it? Repenting of your sins and accepting Jesus Christ, putting your faith in Jesus Christ, will take an individual from a could to a will. Heaven is a real place. People want to say, again, well, you know, I don't believe that there's a heaven or there's a, I don't care whether you believe it or not. Whether you believe it or not does not change what the Bible says. It's already stated. It's already been given. And there is a place of eternal punishment. And there is a place of eternal glory. And what do you have to do to go to hell? Absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing. Just go on living your life and die, and then you end up in hell. How do you get to heaven? By accepting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. God loved you so much that he gave his only begotten Son, that you might have eternal life. Isn't that something? We can go from could be to will be through faith in Christ. Father, we thank you for